Rosh, head. Isaiah 9. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the days of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent a word against Yaakov, and it has fallen on Israel. All the people will know, Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, who say in pride in the arrogance of their heart, the bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will replace them with cedars. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and spur his enemies on, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with an open mouth. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For people do not turn to him who strikes them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off head and tail from Israel, palm branch and bulrush in one day. The elder and honorable, he is the head. The prophet who teaches lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of these people cause them to err, for those who are led by them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord will have no joy in their young men, nor have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For wickedness burns as the fire, it shall devour the briars and thorns, and kindle in the thickets of the forest, they shall mount up like rising smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts, the land is burned up, and the people shall be as fuel for fire. No man shall spare his brother, and he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry. He shall devour on the left hand and not be satisfied. Every man shall eat the flesh of his own arm. Manasseh shall devour Ephraim, and Ephraim and Manasseh, together they shall be against Judah. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is outstretched still. Let me just go back to, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, this has been partially fulfilled as scripture, as those of us in Christianity commonly know, with the birth of Yeshua, the man-child, and he is the son. Okay, and on the government is on his shoulder. And his name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Well, how can he be a child and a son and be the father? Because he is the Yahweh, Yeshua. He is the Ruach HaKodesh. And he is the Resh, the Rosh, the head. He is the head, and the government, the shoulders, is government. And the headship is Yeshua the Messiah. Now, this particular audio file is addressed to the church. Whose headship are you under? No man can serve two masters. You cannot serve Mammon. You cannot serve Caesar and serve the Father, the everlasting Father and his Son, whose government of the kingdom is on the throne of David, and his kingdom, that government, is upon him, and he shall establish it, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts is performing this. Now, I'm going to dilate and open this some more on what this means. If you are in a state-run church that is under the IRS and the government, and you have to give accountability to the state, you are no longer under the headship of Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to get into a whole dialogue about Romans 13. If you look at the entire context of that, it says you must keep the commandments and fulfill the law of loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. And then under that rulership, you know, as the government, God instituted the governments to come under his headship. And so even in Acts, it says, well, shall we obey, you know, men? Or are we going to obey the laws and commandments and precepts of God the Father? So having said that, okay, let's step a little step more. You can't serve mammon. You can't serve worldliness. You can't have leaders who serve worldliness teachings that promote prosperity and mammon, and that this is a sign of God's blessing. It has got to be done in order. Yes, God blesses. He knows our condition. But the issue is what is the head, our thought life, the mind of Christ? Okay, what is the mind of Christ? Let's have a little further look at that. In Colossians 1:5, it says, he is the image of the invisible God. That's Yeshua, Jesus, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Hence he is the child, a son is born unto us, and he is the Father creator. Colossians 1:5-18. And let's look at this. Headship and mind, there's sort of interchangeable in Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you. Okay. Which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, stop. Okay, here it is. Here's the mind of Christ. And we're to be transformed or conformed to this mind, this headship, who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Now, we are not God, and we are not equal to God, but Jesus is. But the example is the character here. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Unto us a child is born, a son is given, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. And therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And this is talking about a process of God dealing with us. We humble ourselves. We take on the form of a bondservant. We are found humbled to the point of daily taking up our cross. Okay? Denying ourselves, take up your cross and follow him. and then wait for God to exalt us in his timing as our obedience is made complete. And then in Ephesians 1 and 2, and he puts all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So this is, Jesus is our head. 2 Corinthians 10, 2. But I beg you that when I'm present, I may not be bold with that confidence, by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh, that is the carnal mind. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So this, the apostle here in Corinthians is talking to the Corinthian church, which is the carnal Christian church that has all the giftings and lacked the character, the transformed character of Christ. We pull down these strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, what are these high things and knowledges? They're arguments, things that exalt itself against the character of the Lamb and our personhood and the knowledge of his sovereignty over all things, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And how do we do that? By the knowledge of the Word of God, by the washing of the water of the Holy Spirit, by the fires of his purging cleansing. We take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Do we presume on this? No. Of course not. With all in humbleness, you know, we humble ourselves and submit to him and being ready to punish all disobedience. Okay, this is authority in warfare that we're talking about. Outside of personal level warfare, first it has to happen in the personal level, though. You have to come under the headship of Jesus Christ. And if you are, there's no problem with the other powers that operate in the spiritual realm. But if you have weaknesses that are still not conformed to the character and the mind of Christ, you have open doors for Satan to come in and play with you mentally. Okay? And only when you have every thought captive to the obedience of Christ and the anointing and the presence of the Holy Spirit comes, then you can be ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And that is a qualifier. And it is not given that all obedience until your obedience is fulfilled. And if you're out of order, the Lord will rebuke you and will deal with you severely and seriously. Because he is the head of all things, his church. So let's look at Colossians 2:6. As you, therefore, so we're talking about being in Christ, under the headship of Jesus Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So here is where the mind of Christ is not operating. And here's where the enemy comes in through people or teachings or prophecies, through philosophies, deceitful words. Well, it sounds like God. I don't know, it sounds good, but if you take a phrase out of the context of the entire sentence or a paragraph, it becomes pretext. You can twist it. If you don't take the person in the setting, Yeshua, as a Jew, in a Hebraic setting, fulfilling all the law and traditions, you don't understand who Jesus is. It's another, you can paint another Jesus and put your name on it and say, well, we'll follow that Jesus, the one we've made up. Okay? Traditions of men, you know, Jesus upbraided the Pharisees and the teachers for making null and void the word of God by the traditions and teachings of men. This has not stopped this kind of, this spirit operating. And what are these traditions meant? According to the basic principles of the world. Well, God wants you to be rich. Well, you don't have enough faith. That's why you're not prospering. And not according to Christ. Christ, who humbled himself and took on the form of a servant and denied himself and took up his cross and followed Jesus, who sought the Lord earnestly for his will. Your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. For in him, Yeshua, the Messiah, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you, now this is, this is how God sees you. You are complete in him. This is already a done deal, who is the head of all principality and power, but we're still in process. This is sanctification. Okay, we've already been made holy, but we are working on our salvation with fear and trembling. Be holy as I'm holy, says God. No, without holiness or pure heart, you will not see God. Pure in heart will see the Lord. How does this work out? Let's look at 1 Peter 4:1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. All right, we need to understand the mind of Christ. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Qualifier. When you crucify your flesh, okay, and it causes suffering when our spirit is still operating in our mortal fleshy vessel. When you have suffered, that has become crucified. And you cease from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. Now the lust of men, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh, all these things oppose the will of God. And these were the three issues that Satan tempted even our Lord Jesus Christ with. And he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You shall not tempt the Lord your God, and you shall not worship anything. When he was presented all the kingdoms, Jesus, he said, you shall only worship God. Doesn't matter what you offer me. If it does not worship God, then I don't want it. Just go ahead and throw yourself off the pinnacle of the mountain. No, you don't test God. You don't tell God what to do. You submit to the will of God and his dealings. You crucify your will. Okay? This is part of having the mind of Christ. And, turn this stone into bread. Because he was fasting, he was hungry. He said, no, man doesn't live by bread, by what goes in him, but by the will of God. God decides by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God whether you're going to take your next breath or not. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to this, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. So we used to do this before the Lord touched us and we began to call on him as our Savior and work out our salvation. And so these people that we used to run with, they're going to, speak evil of us. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Now, this is interesting. God just doesn't judge the dead. He judges the living. He is working in judgment in this dimension now. As it says in Romans, the last chapter, the God of peace shall come soon and crush Satan under your feet. So there, we need to understand, we need to get the mind of Christ. He is triumphant victory. He is triumphant and victorious. To him who overcomes, I will give a rod, a ruling, the rod that comes out of his mouth, and it will break in peace, and dash in peace the potter's vessel. It will be a rod over the nations. But if you're not obedient, if you haven't fulfilled all obedience, you cannot render the principalities and powers disobedient. you are in the flesh, and you will be judged by the Lord. My text for that is Psalm 19. And this psalm is an awesome psalm. I'll just read the one section of it. It has to do with, it's considered a bridal psalm. And it talks about, here we go. Okay. It talks about how great the Lord is and that he hears every voice across all the earth. And there's nothing hidden from the Lord. Now the law of the Lord, and this is in judgment, okay? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's why we line up with his word. His word is the law. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Okay, this is talking about lining up our thought life with God, the understanding of God's principles, his law, okay, his testimony and his statutes. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So that here we have the law, the testimony, statutes, commandments, fear, and judgments of the Lord. So he's working these things in us now as we go through these situations to bring us into conformity to the mind of Christ. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So this psalm illustrates the process of the governing, the bringing into government through God's law, statutes, fear, his judgments, his dealings with us as we submit to him and not be rebellious and buck and come into, you know, that's our cross and that plumb line and that level of lining up and fulfilling obedience to the mind of Christ. But live according to God in the Spirit. They will give, I'm going to go back a little bit. They will give an account to him, is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. This is relational. These are relational, nitty-gritty, specific issues. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love God. I love you. First four commandments. This is the nitty-gritty of what it means to love God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shan't take his name in vain. You shall cut the seventh day as the Sabbath. You shall keep it holy. You shall make any other idols. Okay? Bow down and worship to them. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. You shall not murder. Honor your father and mother. All these things. These are how to love your neighbor. All right, let's look at this mind, verse Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessings, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. This is very clear. You want your prayers to be heard? Then these are the respective ways that you need to go about dealing with those that you are in relationship. And then if they don't hear you or whatever, you have to let them go. And go to their, you know, to their own, you know, staying in the wilderness for another how many ever many years till God, you know, brings them back to that place of humbling themselves and repenting. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be shamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Now, how does God do this? God, this is the covenant that he says in Hebrews 8:10, that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is the house of Israel. This is the covenant. So let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and the worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by fleshy mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. It is one thing to have gifting and to have revelations, but if you go and speak about those things, you become vainly puffed up and think you are something that you are not, when you have not held fast to the head. Philippians 2. Okay, this is really important. How do we do this? If you have any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Okay? Like-minded, what's that? Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each one of you look not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. Oh my, do we need this in this day and age? Why? Because the Lord is not coming back for a filthy, dirty bride. This Hosea, this church that's been 40 years in the wilderness under the headship of the state, or mammon, or false teachers, apostate, meaning having moved off of the foundations, this church, through false teachers and false doctrines and false prophets and apostles, yes, false apostles, this church that's been moved, the Lord's, and is not under the rosh, the head of Jesus, doesn't have the mind of Christ, you know, has been taken out of context, and they've made this whole other Christ and painted you a picture and say, now follow this icon, this Christ we made. Rather than what? Rather than the Lord of the Word made flesh. Okay? This, we're trying to get, the Lord is coming back for his bride. And what did I say? This is a mystery, right? Up here in Ephesians, I spoke about wives. Ephesians 5:2, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, okay, so let wives be subject to their husbands and own things. So we're talking about the covenant, being subject to the head, Christ, and how that looks and what that means according to the word of God's laws, commandments, testimonies, fear of the Lord, and his judgments. his teachings, his preparation. And I saw, it says in Revelation, the city, New Jerusalem, and then a bride coming out adorned for her husband without spot or wrinkle or stain. She didn't have a lot of wrong teachings, doctrines. She wasn't messed up. Let's look at this in Ephesians 4, 1. And he himself gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, and I'm not going into what those offices are, and that the calling and ordination of the Lord is. But I will tell you this, it is not a lot of what has been taught in the modern church. In fact, in the church in the West, I should say, because we see these being on the mission field and being in other nations, many other nations, we see that those who rule in these offices or who call to these offices are often not even acknowledged by high platform, big wads of money rolling ministries. Okay? They didn't humble themselves and empty themselves and make themselves of no reputation. Okay, so for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, this is what these ministries are for, is to build up and equip the saints to do the ministry of Christ. Till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So there's a coming, there's a progressive unveiling of unity of faith and knowledge of who the Son of God is, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay, that's individually and that's corporately. So he shifted his views. We're all coming in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. But he's making us that perfect man that he is, which is the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. That we are no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So here it is. These are the wolves in the body. Winds of doctrines, tricky devices, cunning craftiness, deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up. So we're obliged to speak the truth. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love always rejoices with the truth. And truth may be difficult. It may be cutting. It will. It will cut your flesh. Truth in love will come and circumcise your heart, your emotions, your soul. It will cut off the flesh. And it's often painful. But we this is a part of being crucified, denying yourself and taking up your cross. May grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. You have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Remember what I said? The deceitfulness of riches, the lusting after them, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man who was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. In true righteousness, being truthful about whether it's right or wrong, and holiness. So evidently there's a false righteousness, a false humility, okay? A seeming appearance. But the inward part, an external, right? I got my own rags, my own righteous rags, or you know, my own correct behavior. But internally, the affection of the heart, the attitude of the heart, is out of order. It's not walking in the truth of what's really going on inwardly. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him steal no longer. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but it is good for necessary edification, that it might impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Okay, well, thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, thank you. Make this alive. Make it sharp, two-edged sword, piercing and discerning between joint and marrow, between spirit and soul, and even to the inward motives of the heart, in Yeshua's name. I'm going to do a second part to this, which is going to talk about the dealing. Now, this is a personal dealing, but in Isaiah 9, where it talks about the Lord dealing with the land and his children in Manasseh and Ephraim and the land of Israel. So God bless you.